Good morning. It is nice to be here. I want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart, both me and Stacy, for the prayers, the concern that everybody has shown last Sunday. For those of you that weren't here, I had a little episode right before preaching where I passed out. It was luckily just because of medication. Don't want to joke too much about it, but because it could have, I guess, been serious. But there's directions on the bottle for a reason. Follow the directions, not only on pill bottles, but in the Bible. But I thank everybody for the prayers, the concern, especially the concern for Stacy. I tell you, it is encouraging the congregation we have, that literally people sprung into action immediately. I really thank the people that were helping me, comforting Stacy. Stacy and Sean thought I died. Yeah, it wasn't good. But Terrence, sitting back there, you did an excellent job after the situation, picking right back up with communion as if nothing skipped a beat. Dick stepped up, I hear a wonderful sermon. I wasn't here, but heard that it was a wonderful sermon. You know, people talk, oh, I need time to prepare. You know, Dick had a whole rest of communion and a whole song to prepare for a lesson. It's a great testimony to this congregation that the Word of God is going to be preached faithful without skipping a beat. And it's you know, just the concern that you guys had is tremendous. Want to remind everybody that we're having a going away. Dick mentioned it in the opening announcements. Going away for Trish and the boys. They're going to be moving to Tennessee to be with family. Moving this coming week, right? So this will be their last morning and tonight their last evening with us. And we'd like to send them off with a bunch of love. We've enjoyed the time that you've been here and want to encourage everybody to come back tonight, and we will send them off in style. Stacy and I were kind of joking that how ironic it was that the lesson last week, which I'm going to give today, let me get this turned on. It is finished. Anyway, we're gonna carry on and I hate to joke about stuff like that, but I mean, it's funny. That's good stuff. I couldn't have planned it better. Anyway, this is not a funny subject here, but want to get into this. The scripture reading today that was read was from John 19, and it says, after this, and this is, Jesus is on the cross and has been a sacrifice for us, and it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. This short passage here says so much. There in verse 28, Jesus, being the Son of God, knowing that all things were now accomplished, He knew it. And that the scripture, this is not just somebody's idea of something, not somebody else's plan, but that the scriptures of old would be fulfilled with this event. And then at the end, he said, it is finished. What's finished? Not just the life of the man, Jesus. I understand it. I believe it. I can't explain how Jesus is God and how he's man. He's 100% God and he's one. I believe it. I get it. I can't explain that. But Jesus, knowing that all of the things that had been planned were now accomplished, his work was finished. What was finished? God's plan was finished. God's plan to provide a way for man to be saved. From a plan from the beginning of creation. God knew man needed a way to save himself. And that there was no way for man to provide it himself. People, and I'm not criticizing, I think it's a slip of a lip more than anything else. I hear people say, Jesus took my spot as a sacrifice. No, because if I was offered as a sacrifice, it wouldn't be good enough. I could offer myself as a sacrifice all day long, and it still wouldn't be good enough. The only sacrifice worthy in God's eyes, God loved us enough to provide the sacrifice. He was demanding enough to demand a sacrifice. But knowing that there was nothing we could do, he provided it. And that was his son. John 3, 16 and 17. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Not one of many. I've got a few others. I'll just be missing this one. No, his only begotten. The word in Greek is monogenes. The only one of its kind. It was unique. The only one in existence gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's God's plan in a nutshell. The meaning of the Bible comes together in those two verses there. In Romans 5, Paul would write to the Romans, he says, for when we were still without strength, I think the New American Standard Version says, while we were still helpless, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's what was finished. Jesus said, it is finished. God's plan was finished. A plan that he had from the creation of the world. Knowing, being God, knowing the outcome of man, that he was going to have to provide a sacrifice because we could not. It was also, it is finished, the role of Jesus. I don't know about you. I observe people all the time that are kind of drifting through life, not knowing exactly what they want to pursue. They're just kind of like a leaf blowing in the wind with no real purpose. That would be extremely frustrating to me. I'm a very goal-oriented. I love schedules. I love deadlines. I love to know my purpose. Jesus, that was his purpose. He left heaven and came to earth. He lived. He taught and preached. And he died to fulfill God's plan. He demonstrated obedience, not only to God the Father, but as an example to us. The words that it might be fulfilled is displayed 11 times in the Gospels. That it might be fulfilled, some of the things that might be fulfilled through scriptures was his birth. The where, the how of his birth, where he would live. These are not predictions that we're getting toward the end of the year and we're going to see on the grocery store checkout lines, you know, the different magazines and stuff, predictions of Gene Dixon and all that. We're not talking about these things, you know, predictions for the new year. These are scriptures, the word of God, that Jesus would fulfill his purpose, where he lived, the fact that he would be a sacrifice for man, the fact that he taught in parables was prophesied about, the fact that he would be not just die, crucified, and different aspects of his death. But 11 times it talks about in the gospel that it might be fulfilled. The scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, the word of God that had been taught by the prophets would be fulfilled. In Matthew 1, verses 22 and 23, it reads, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." Just the idea of his birth, his coming into existence here was prophesied and was fulfilled. In Matthew 2, And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Where he would live. Luke 2, and he said to them, I've always loved this passage. The child Jesus was separated of his parents for 3 days. I would have been beside myself. I remember when Bobby was young, maybe all of a sudden looking there he is, and moments later, where is he? In just a store, and going every aisle of trying to find my son. After 3 days, I'd have been a basket case. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And he's not talking about, I need to get into the carpentry business of Joseph, my father. People drift in life not knowing their purpose. Jesus knew his purpose. He knew his purpose. And that's comforting. And he would stick to that purpose. In John 2, verse 4, Jesus was at the wedding feast and his mom, Mary, saying, hey, the wedding host, they've run out of wine. And Jesus, I'm not hosting this party. Why are you telling me? And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Jesus was very in tune with the timetable of his life. He hadn't started that ministry yet. And he showed, he was respectful and he did his thing, but it wasn't part of his ministry yet. In Matthew 4, verse 17, Jesus was teaching, and he said, Matthew says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven, the church, it's close, it's at hand, it's within reach. Just a short time from now, the kingdom is going to be established. And he's preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close. It's coming. It's closer than you think. In John 7, then Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it and that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. He was in tune. He was in tune with what he must do and the things that he must go through. Excuse me. In Matthew 5, a lot of people were criticizing Jesus that the things he was teaching went against the law. Jesus is refuting that here. He says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The things I teach is not against the old scriptures. It fulfills it. It brings it to light. Excuse me. Matthew 26 says, and he said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. It's here. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. John 12, 23. But Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come. It's here. That the Son of Man should be glorified. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Jesus knew that his hour had come to go through all this. And he's saying, should I go to the Father in prayer and say, Father, remove me from this? This was his purpose. And now you want to back out of it? He didn't do that. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. In John 17, after what we refer to as the Last Supper, the institution of the Lord's Supper and so forth, his arrest was just a short time in the future. But before this, Jesus knew that in just a short time, everything that had been planned in time was coming together and peaking. The last major thing that he does before his arrest is pray. Pray to the Father. And he says in John 17:4, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Not only was Jesus obedient to his Father, he gives us an example of obedience. I've heard people say, oh, well, God wouldn't expect me to do such and such and sacrifice this or that. He expected his son to fulfill it. He expected his own son to fulfill and finish the work that was given him. What makes us think that God doesn't expect the same thing from us? And going back to the scripture that we'd started with, while Jesus was on the cross, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. And in verse 30, so when he had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Jesus fulfilled and lived out his purpose that God used him for to the end. He said, it is finished. Jesus fulfilled his ministry of preaching the gospel of salvation. And with the exception, as we look at these, with the exception of offering ourselves as a sacrifice of our sins, this ministry of Jesus, is it anything that we should not be doing? With the exception, we're not worthy of being a sacrifice. Jesus preached the gospel of salvation. That's something we can do. He prepared his disciples to continue his work. We should be continuing that work and training others to continue that work. He pleased God through his obedience. And we shouldn't do that. God doesn't expect us to be obedient to him. He expected his son to be obedient. And he fulfilled his earthly responsibilities. In John 19, right before this passage, he leaves Mary. Even while he's hanging in pain on the cross, he provides for the care of his mother. And I love where it says, from that moment on, that John took Mary into his household. He's not going to be around to care for her anymore. And he didn't ignore earthly responsibilities. Neither should we. We have to work. We have to pay the bills. But we also need to fulfill our ministry to God. Our purpose. If you ever wonder that you're going through life without a purpose, just kind of blowing like a leaf in the wind, going this way and that way, read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Solomon, man of great wisdom, great riches, He fulfilled vast amounts of satisfaction in his life, earthly satisfaction. He says in verse 13, let us hear the conclusion. He's going to boil it down for us. He's going to get to the bottom line. After everything's said and done, this is what's important. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. We have a purpose. Solomon lays it out for us. Those words, it is finished. I'm thankful every day that Jesus fulfilled his ministry for us and fulfilled God's plan. We have a purpose too. That's to fear God and keep his commandments, to obey his commandments that are in the scriptures. And as we go into this new week, let us take that with us, that we have a purpose too. We're not just being blown this way and that way by every other wind. If you need to respond to the invitation, I know some of you have been studying God's word and are getting close to understanding that you need to be baptized. If you need to be baptized right now, we are more than ready to accommodate you. If you need to repent of sins, if your sin is of a private nature, you repent right there in your seat to God and change your life. If your sins and actions is of a public nature, by all means, come forward and repent of it publicly. Change your life. If you need prayers of this congregation, this is a praying congregation. I'm here to tell you. It's a praying congregation. If you need prayers, we will be more than happy to pray with and for you of whatever need you have. If you've been looking for a church home, if you've been searching a few different congregations in town and would like to worship with us and identify with us, we would love to have you. We will put you to work and would love to fellowship with you. Whatever your need, please come forward as Frank leads us in the invitation song.